It's 10:01.
We'll open the meeting at 10:01. Leave of absences and apologies. Councillor John Piper has requested a leave of absence from this meeting. I have a mover and seconder for that.
So moved.
Yeah, moved. Councillor Callow seconded. Councillor White. There's some movements there. And that's unanimous. I'd also like to admit Councillor Morris via audio-visual link. Do I have a mover and seconder for that? Yep. Councillor McGlynn, seconded Councillor White. Unanimous. Moving on. Webcasting of council meetings. Just make sure that everyone's aware of that. Statement of ethical obligations. That everyone is aware of their obligations under that section. Acknowledgement of country, we will read. I would like to acknowledge the Wiradjuri people who are the traditional custodians of the land. I'd also like to pay respect to their people, both past and present, and extend that respect to other Aboriginal Australians who are present. There are no presentations scheduled for this meeting. I'd just like to make everybody aware of their declaration of pecuniary interests at any stage during the meeting, and make them aware of their declaration of non-pecuniary interests at any stage during the meeting. Confirmation of minutes. It is recommended that the minutes of the meeting held 23rd of June 2022, having been circulated to members, be confirmed as a true with an accurate record. Do I have a mover and seconder for that? Moved Councillor McAllister, seconded Councillor Sinclair. Any business arising from the minutes? We have a meeting there on the 8th, do we? Is it 8th?
Extraordinary meeting.
Yep.
Be approved.
Okay. We have had a meeting on the 8th where there was an extraordinary meeting which also needs to be moved. Moved and seconded for that. Yep. Moves Councillor Sinclair. Seconded Councillor McAllister. All done there with minutes. All good. Business arising from the minutes from either of those meetings? Not by the looks of it. Correspondence. At the time of preparation of the business paper, no relevant correspondence had been received for inclusion. Just make everybody aware of matters of urgency, which I don't believe there's any of those in the business paper either at the moment. So, we're going to accept the late report. I've got that in the that part. Matters of urgency, my mistake, bear with me. There's a decision, matters of urgency. Okay, in accordance with clause 9.3 of Council's Code of Meeting Practice, business may be transacted at meeting with due notice only if a motion is passed to have the business transaction at the meeting and the business to be considered is ruled by the chairperson to be of great urgency on the grounds that it requires a decision by the council before the next scheduled ordinary meeting of the council. This is for the supply of vehicles, and we are all aware of the...
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so we need to accept that and that, or is that going into the next section?
Yeah, apologies, that's already in there. We've fucked it up for you.
That's all right,
so
I'll get there.
So we'll consider these two.
So we will consider, with permission of the rest of the councillors, late reports of ReRock and Riverina JO, one organisation report, and the Wylong Water Reliability Project update also be accepted for consideration. These items will be considered following the last report of the meeting with LGNSW, annual conference report. Can I have a mover and seconder for that? Yeah. Councillor McGlynn and seconded by Councillor White.
Yeah.
Anyone against? No. We're going to accept those reports. Okay.
Yep, so we're going to be matters of urgency.
Matters of urgency, which I just mentioned there.
Yep.
So now over the page. Notices of motion / rescission motions. At the time of preparation of the business paper, no notices of motion or rescission motions have been received. And the chairperson's minute, at the time of preparation of the business paper, the chairperson had not issued a report for publication. I'd like to try and whip through that part of the meeting if possible, because it's, I don't want to use the word redundant, especially for the acknowledgement of the country, but some of that's just standard procedure. So, okay, public participation, confidential session. So we will move into confidential if I've got a move and seconder. Move Councillor Callow, seconded, yep, Councillor Sinclair. And we're now in confidential, we'll turn that off.
Okay, councillors, there were two reports considered in confidential, the first being the tender report supplier vehicles 04/2022, and the council resolved that tender 04/2022 supply of six vehicles be awarded to Palmer Ford for the assessed price of $335,767.62. And the second report considered was general manager's performance review, and the board resolved as follows. Item one, that the board note and adopt the chairperson's minute, which includes the general manager's performance review panel's position following the annual review for 2021-22. Two, the panel, in accordance with clause 8.3 of the general manager's contract of employment, has noted the better than satisfactory performance and is recommending a 3.5% increase in the total remuneration payment, excluding the sought increase. Three, that in accordance with clause 9.8 of the general manager's contract of employment, council grants 5 days special leave in recognition of the additional hours worked. And four, the council delegates the general manager's performance review panel authority to determine future adjustments to and components of the TRP. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Next item of business is on page 58, council cash and investments. And the recommendation is that the report detailing council cash and investments as at 31st of July 2022 be received and noted. Yep, move Councillor Sinclair. Seconded Councillor Callow. Any discussion or questions on that? No. All those in favour? Yep, unanimous. Okay, moving on to the next page. Progress report, capital works expenditure on page 62. And the council officer recommendation is that the report detailing council's capital works program as at 31st of July 2022 be received and noted. So mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor McGlynn, seconded Councillor McAllister. Any questions or discussion on the capital works expenditure? No. All those in favour?
No.
Move unanimously. Okay. We move over to page 69, which is the draft financial statements. It's got quite a long council officer recommendation, so you'll have to bear with me. Financial statements for the year ended 30th of June 2022 be referred to Council's Order, Audit Office of New South Wales. Council make a resolution in accordance with section 413(2)(c) that the financial statements have been prepared in accordance with 1) the Local Government Act 1993, New South Wales as amended, and the regulations made thereunder, 2) the Australian Accounting Standards and Professional Pronouncements, 3) the Local Government Code of Accounting Practice and Financial Reporting, 4) presents fairly the council's operating result and financial position for the year, 5) accords with the council's accounting and other records, and 6) the council is not aware of any matter that would render these statements false or misleading in any way. Point 3) that council adopt the above mentioned statement, and that the chairperson, councillor, general manager and responsible accounting officer be authorised to sign the statements by councillors and management in relation to council's 21-22 financial statements and special purpose financial reports and be attached thereto. 4) the general manager be delegated the authority to issue the audited financial statements immediately upon receipt of the auditor's reports, subject to there being no material changes or audit issues. And finally, 5) council present the final audited financial statements and audit report to the public at its ordinary meeting to be held on 27th of October 2022. Mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor White. Seconded Councillor Sinclair. Yep.
We might get the finance manager just to give us a brief overview.
Sure. Yep, please.
Yeah, through the chair, if I can hand it over to John just to give us a brief overview of how we finished the financial year off.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Aaron. Thanks, Mr. Chairman. The financial reports have been completed and the audit will be completed today, actually, and this afternoon. But your financial result was quite acceptable. You incurred a operating loss of $230,000. You gave a budgeted profit of $392,000. And basically the difference is a reduction in income. Basically, you did the wet weather. You bought incur the loss in the current year, your accumulated surplus is quite significant. So it's pleasing to see it. Such a good result.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mover and seconder, do we have that?
Yes.
Yep. And a vote in favour of that?
Aye.
Aye, unanimous for everyone. Okay. Thank you for that report. Okay, moving on to page 70, financial impact statement. The recommendation does not impact on council's financial position. Wait a minute.
That was part of that bid.
Page 71, budget revotes. Okay, there's a council officer recommendation that the board revotes expenditure totalling $2,903,000 from the 2021-22 financial year for inclusion in the 2022-23 budget. Moved by Councillor Callow. Seconded by Councillor McGuinn. Any comments from the General Manager or questions?
Well, through the chair, it's just there's a number of projects there, and as you appreciate, the wet weather has caused havoc there with some of the projects. Not only that, supplies of materials with some of the projects, and I think that there's some reports later on with regards to projects specifically, hence being so many, and not to mention too that a couple of the projects are over a couple of financial years, so it's not just in 1 year. Any questions?
Yep, Councillor Sinclair.
Yes. Yeah, Chairman. Just item four, just to clear what it is, the bulk water quality panels.
Through the chair, I'll hand that over to Jeff.
Through you, Mr. Chair, the water quality panels, they're online analysers. Part of those that were this project specifically is to install 3 specific panels on offtakes for the Hilltop Shire as part of new and upcoming service level agreements to be done. So they will measure our requirements under the Australian Drinking Water Guidelines, things like turbidity, chlorine, things like that. So part of the agreement will be that we'll provide access to that online information to ensure that our water quality is clear of offtakes.
Yeah. Okay. All those in favour with the council officer recommendation?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Okay, concealed leak policy applications. There's a council officer recommendation. Rebate water account. Do you want me to read that number? That's not revealing anything at all, it's just a number. Okay, 44084276. The figure is $5,967.57 for water charges incurred due to a concealed leak. And number two, there's another one, rebate water account, 44084805. That's for $16,056.51 for water charges incurred due to a concealed leak. Do we want to have discussion from the GM about that and what's occurred, or?
If we get a mover and seconder first.
Yep, mover and seconder. Yep, Councillor McGuinn. Councillor McAllister.
So, through the chair, this is based on the current policy, and you'll note the next report is a updated policy. And this has sort of brought it to a head, saying, hang on, we need to have some commitment from property owners as well, too, rather than us bearing the full cost of the water. So, you might recall some time ago we brought that policy. It was sort of didn't have a time frame set where we're set. Currently, we say 6 months, because given that they get an account and then by the time they get onto it. But property owners need to take some responsibility. We have the app that we spent a lot of money on. We were the first with that, and people need to, particularly those rural ones. This is where these big leaks are coming from. High pressures, plenty of water running out. You'd notice this sort of water if you're in a residential area. So we urge the property owners. I think we've got in there, there's about a 20% uptake with the app. But, you know, we've done a lot of publicising with that. Initially right at the start, and we'll probably do the same with the new policy coming forward. At the end of the day, this is a decision for the board, but it's just premised based on the current policy. Next report will then suggest how we go going forward.
As a new councillor, that app, how does that work? Does that let them continue, they look up and see what they use?
Yeah, so you can set parameters on it. It's fantastic. So you can set it. If you've got continuous water running, like in a toilet, it picks that up. Because you shouldn't have. You should be turning taps on, sprinklers on, off, swimming pools taken, even in the rural environment. But it should turn off at some stage. So if it's not turning off, you know that there's water leaking.
Well, and what's the cost for people to give that out?
It's free.
Absolutely free.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the issue we have. And it's as soon as someone has a major leak, they're all concerned then, and they'll grab the app. But we've been publicising it for a good 3 years.
Yeah, right.
Goes out, I think, on almost every single quarterly notice. And that's the uptake. But the rural, this is the issue, they can have massive leaks. And if it's 3K down the road, they're not there. But again, the onus is on them. It's like with electricity, every other utility, the onus is on the property owner. And there's still a cost to us. Like, we run the water. So currently, we're absorbing the full loss.
So through you, Mr. Chair, the
$3,000
now, how do we set that limit? How was that figure determined?
We might be on to the next
one. My fault.
So I understood that, like, I know my daughter, she was on holiday, she rang me up, "Dad, can you go and have a look? There's a water leak," because you'd contacted her and said there was water leak. Is that through the app?
If she's got a, if she has, through the chair, if she's got the app set up, that will let her know. We did, at the very early stages, let some people know, but then we put it back on people saying, "There's the app,
and you
need to utilise it."
So
we are looking at it.
In the early days, you used to actually send a text to people.
May have been, but it was to do with resourcing around it.
Oh, right.
We are now looking at other methods where we may just look at the highest leaks and then notify, but at the moment it's solely on the property owner.
So there's the app. I don't have the app, but the app can be set up to alert you if you've got overconsumption.
Yes. You set your parameters, and then it alerts you to it. Very, very simple.
Yeah.
Easy to use.
Yeah.
It's really good.
But why would people bother if we're going to pay for their water leak?
Well, we've got to change that.
So through the chair, hence the update in the policy coming up.
So we don't really at this stage have any way to, I suppose, raise the number of people who have the app, but could we impose that both of these clients get the app as part of this resolution?
And look, that's part of when we write to people saying that we're wiping off, is that we urge them to get the app because we won't consider it a second time.
Yeah.
Okay.
But going forward, we'll look at the policy in a moment. So, this is just, considering wiping off their incurred debts.
Yeah. So deal with this at this stage, I believe, and then maybe we can amend that recommendation there.
So we go out and look that they haven't got a dam full of water or something.
Yeah.
So through the chair, as part of the current policy, they have to get a plumber to inspect it and then advise that there's a leak, and in both instances they've done that and rectified it.
Yep.
So you can't, as a farmer, just go do it yourself. It needs to be a registered plumber.
Right. Okay.
In the case of a real leak, when we've had it, it's just a matter of, a leak in a pipe, which is probably a pipe or something, and you just put a colour for a joiner in or something. And is it really necessary to get a registered plumber to do that?
Well, if you want to make a claim.
Yeah, so through the chair, to make a claim, if you wish to make a claim, then we need someone, not saying anything against people, but someone that's registered to then verify that. So if you've got a $16,000 bill, you'd probably spend some money to get a plumber to verify that.
I suppose, when Councillor Sinclair is going, if the plumber just comes in and inspects, can you then repair it as a farmer who might deal with this on a weekly basis since they were...
Through the chair, I'll hand it over to Jeff.
Through you, Mr. Chair. So the AS3500 standards set that it must be a licensed plumber to undertake it. However, there are situations where you can fix or have people have undertaken it as long as there's a plumber available who are willing to sign off on your
relationship. That's the biggest thing, getting the plumbers on.
Okay. Interesting one, that one. I don't know how much further we can go with it until we hit the next item, which is dealing with the new policy. Yeah. Okay. Any more questions then, or mover and seconder for that? Do we? Unanimous. Well, it looks a bit unanimous. Putting the hand up the other way. Okay, we'll move on to, we've got this here.
That was part of that
as well.
Yep.
So we'll go straight on to the concealed leak detection policy. We've just briefly spoken about two cases there. So the council officer recommendation is that the amended concealed leak detection policy be approved and authority be delegated to management to determine applications from property owners for reductions in usage charges under the concealed leak detection policy up to a maximum reduction of $3,000. Okay. Any more questions or discussion on that?
Only the question I had about how we determine that.
Sorry.
I'll move
and
second, I can do that.
Move, Councillor Carlo. Second to Councillor Sinclair. Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, just the $3,000 limit. Yeah. How did we come to that? Was it just out of the hat? Or?
Through the chair, I believe it's my delegation. We've said at some stage.
Yep.
Just, I think it may have been from earlier days too, but it's just a reasonable figure.
Yep.
Yeah, you could make it anything, I guess.
Oh, you could, but I mean...
The bigger ones we bring to the board,
yeah.
The smaller ones we look at this, and I might just also, just in terms of the changes, page 81 is where we talk about the exclusions. So what we're saying, say in those previous cases,
yeah.
Is that, you know, if it's under 5,000, then 75% of the calculator reduction, and then again, as it goes up, it gets less and less, so... 5 to 10,000, you'll only get 50% back, and then over 10,000, you'll only get 25% back.
Yeah.
So my question would be then, through the chair, is there any flexibility with that, or is that it?
So through the chair, once this policy is set, this is how officers will abide by it. Again, it can come back to the board,
mm-hmm.
should the board see to do differently. And I'll just draw your attention to 6.5 at the bottom of 81. That's where we talk about the property owners required, rare, practical to download the app after the initial leak in order to capture future issues.
So just got to... Sorry, Councillor White.
You get one go without downloading the app.
Yes.
Just the word required, can we make that must or not?
We can't force people, I guess. That's the issue. You can't force. So we require...
To take part in this policy, they must, or be considered within this policy, they must. Is that allowable or not? It just protects us from having a number of these. Go for it.
The reason it's left a little bit open is that some of the elderly people who don't have the facility downloaded that. It's just to cover those situations.
Sure, okay.
Yep.
I fully understand now. Yeah, that's right.
If I may, through you, Chair, on that concealed leaks, one is I've got a little bit of a problem with where a rural property fixes a leak, and then if it's going to make a claim, then you have to have a licensed plumber fix it. But that's after the fact, and that goes for a lot of sports grounds and that sort of thing. If they find a leak, they fix it, and if they're going to put a claim in, then they find out, oh, it should have been fixed by a licensed plumber.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
True.
I think if you just have a call for it, come and check out.
Yeah.
Through the chair, it's a hard one because this is sort of more focused on residential, but then we have that rural network as well too. And one could argue, you know, is a concealed one really, you know, out on a farm? Like concealed really is under a house or under a building, something that you can't see. Now, I do realise we've got over 1,000 rural ones, but that's why we took the initiative, we developed the app. And I'm sure they've got apps to run tractors and headers and everything else. They really, you know, the electricity companies probably don't have these. We've got the app. Where possible, they should be taking that on.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I know with our local showgrounds there, they've got the app. They've got a shitty bit of pipe that keeps bursting. Someone rings someone else, oh, the thing's gone off. Yeah, I'm away at the moment. I'll fix it tomorrow or someone else will fix it. It gets fixed by not a licensed plumber, but it does get fixed. And since they've got that app, it certainly alerts them to any, just replace the whole 200, 300 metres polypipe, excuse me, polypipe, and problem solved. But it's gone to make a claim before and get stumped as soon as it said, oh, what's a licensed plumber that actually fixed it? Well, it wasn't a licensed plumber that fixed it at all, so that's where it stops.
Yeah.
I guess if you had a licensed plumber inspected to say,
yeah,
okay,
that's all. That's it.
Yeah, through the chair, it's like Jeff mentioned before, there's a requirement under the Australian standards there. So,
yeah.
through you, Mr. Chair, it's actually regulated through Fair Work, New South Wales. So it's not a regulation or a standard that we impose. We're just required to manage those conditions. So we can't change the requirement for being a licensed plumber, but we can be flexible and say, fix the immediate.
Yeah.
Just make sure you get a license plate and turn up, even if they have to reconnect or something. Just give us just a certificate. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
I always look like the government. You're responsible for any leaks after the meter. I'm sure that's a yes man and the guy who made our open water.
Sorry, through the chair, can you repeat that again?
I'm sure I'd have to check that you were responsible, especially the residents, because we don't have to supply farm water. But anything beyond the meter, you're responsible.
That's right.
If there's leaks,
you're responsible.
You're meant to be the one checking if you're on the unlooked at your meter or whatever.
Yeah, through the chair, I think that's the case for almost all water authorities. Yeah. Once it's after the meter, it's like electricity, it's yours.
Yeah.
I guess this policy is just here for where people... It's concealed, so the idea is that you've got a leak under the house or a shed or somewhere, you're not aware, you get a big bill, and then a plumber verifies that, and then you rectify it. But it's not to have a leak where there's three dams filled afterwards and cover that situation.
We had one a few years ago where a pipeline goes through a neighbour's property, ours, and it goes right on the edge of the dam, and we had a leak there, didn't realise until the neighbour rang up and said, my dam's overflowing, we better check the pipe.
Good on him. Didn't put in another dam.
Yeah, he
just one thing on that. If someone gets a big bill, is there any sort of, can they negotiate time payment or something like that?
So through the chair, yes, we enter into payment plans.
Yeah.
But this all comes back to we've got the app. So we've been proactive with that. The customers really need to take that up. And they do definitely when they get the first leak.
Yeah.
But it's there, it's available, and it's free.
Okay.
So it's an easy model.
Are there any more discussion or questions on that policy? Not by the looks of it. All those in favour?
Aye.
Unanimous? Okay. Moving on to page 82, water production report. It's got the usual schemes there. Everybody's hopefully had a chance to look through those. Just looking at the first one, Dugong. As you can see, we dipped again in January, but we've sort of come back again based on last year. If I just make a quick comment, I think listening to some meteorologists this week, there's a 70% chance of La Nina, whatever that means, but I think that means wet.
Yeah.
So I think Pakistan's currently underwater, most of it. We're going to cop it again next year, so I don't know whether these graphs are going to improve with an upward trajectory. Yeah. So the council officer recommendation is that the water production reports be received and noted.
Yeah.
Move Councillor White, seconded Councillor Sinclair. All those in favour or a question? Aye, okay. We'll go to the Howrah High Voltage Civil Construction project update. And the Council Officer recommendation is that the Board accept the updated information relating to the Howrah High Voltage Upgrade project. So if there's any. We're going to move and second it first.
Yeah,
and then, yep. Move Councillor Callow, seconded Councillor McLean. Any comments from any of the councillors or questions or staff willing to explain anything there that they feel they need to?
Through the chair, we might have Jeff going to give us just a brief overview.
Yep. Through you, Mr. Chair. So the project involved a new switch room building, a lot of civil works, a strategy to try and cut over existing and new for new pump stations, future reservoirs and treatment processes. So we have to take into consideration what's our 30-year horizon, what may be required at some stage, all dependent, and then try and stage the amount of projects and development of each step all the way through. So this first pipe project obviously being the high voltage assets around the end of life. And part of that project, which is all about high sites, They're all about 4 years now, about 42 years old, so they're all in life. Another consideration we did was include variable speed drives, AHVs and speed at their STDs, which we've never done before, mainly because they're expensive. But you can, what we can do is make a lot of savings operationally from controlling our water supply through TBN controls. So at the moment we have fixed run times and pumps and flows. So at the moment, ours specifically, it'll run at about 300 litres a second, but we're trying to achieve 420 litres a second. So that would require, you know, two pumps to run in parallel. So we needed to get more juice into the system to punch bigger pumps. So by 2024, we're saying we're going to have a new pump station with three new 900 kilowatt pumps, which are quite large. They're significant amounts to move forward. And so what we've done as part of this stage of the project is a new switch room building, which houses all of our new high voltage gear. So that's our switch gear, our boards, and our VSDs. The VSDs are massive. They're about 8 ton. They're just huge. And that's each. And there's three of them. So we're about 6 months behind in the project just because of a number of issues. Essential energy approvals is probably the most painful thing I've ever gone through. Even I went to the dentist and got wisdom teeth ripped out by again. That was wisdom teeth. But there was delays in there. We've obviously had the pandemic in between, all of the wet weather, and we're probably about 6 months behind. And as part of that, we also included around $1.2 million of additional works as part of this, just to, I suppose, get to the next phase of the next works, which is coming up, which is the two new reservoirs to be constructed. We're going to go out for them this year, hopefully this year, for tender. So that's the construction of two new 4 megalitre reservoirs plus a new aeration system on top to try and remove some of the iron out of the borefield. So part of that work was an extension of a 750mm ductile pipeline and connection into the existing and the proposed new pump station. So that'll allow us to operate everything at the same time, and then when everything's built, which is isolate, so that's some of the works there. Now we are going into our commissioning phase for the electrical assets on the 19th of this month. So 2 weeks away, I'll probably be panicking, and if I put my leave in for a holiday, you know it'll be wrong. So it should be good, I'm hopeful. We've got Essential Energy on site, we've got Schneider Electrics come over, and our RIC, who is our electrical installer contractor. So all on site, ready to go, and hopefully commissioning
gives us what's planned. Okay, very good. Yeah. Okay, we've got a mover and second. That's all those in favour.
Aye.
Okay, that's our out of the road. Page 95 is the Dugong High Voltage Civil Construction Project update. And the council officer recommendation is that the board accept the updated information relating to the Dugong High Voltage Upgrade Project. Can I have a mover and seconder for that? Moved, Councillor Sinclair. Seconded, Councillor McLean. Any questions or discussion?
Maybe just a quick one again from Jeff.
Yep.
Through the chair.
Yep, through you, Mr. Chair. The Dugong HV project, very similar to the Arrow one, however, a lot less infrastructure upgrades required for future demand requirements. What we've undertaken at the moment is we've released the civil construction, which is the civil works on site plus the building. We're probably around 50% complete already. So we're actually in front on the construction side for this project, which is great. We've almost finalised the full electrical engineer drawings, which will be hopefully saying by the end of mid-October, the completion of those, where we will then issue a new tender out for an electrical installer, which will all land the cables and manufacture our switchboards and things like that to put inside the room. We've also engaged Schneider again for the purchase of our new VSDs and our switch gear, and they're on target around April next year for the arrival of those.
Okay. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Moving on to page 97, product implementation. I hope I pronounced this correctly, which I didn't. Innovise Imagine AI, is that correct? The council officer recommendation that the board approve an increase to the operational budget of $135,000 to recommence the implementation of the Imagine product. Seeing as this deals with AI, it's new technology, and I'm happy for this to be discussed and elaborated on. If I can get a mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor White, seconded Councillor Sinclair.
Not going to take over the world, is it?
Not at the moment. Through the chair, I'll hand it over to Jeff, but this is something, I think it was about 2 years ago we started, and we needed more, sensors and data so that it's practical, so or that we can get meaningful efficiencies out of it. Is there anything more to add, Jeff?
Yeah, through you, Mr. Chair. So the project basically establishes a digital twin of our system, so it literally... You design exactly how our system is, so it has the treatment plant process, everything in the process in it. So, we dose liquid alum, we dose soda ash, all of those things, and they're variable in speed and how much. We've done a base model development already, so we kicked that off in 2020. That was designed, and then we've designed the network, the reservoirs, and how much demand we're doing on those. Where we fell short was the contractor wasn't confident in saying, we can achieve the savings we're telling you because we just don't have enough data to reduce that tolerance of inaccuracy. And because there was a lot of water and offshoots that we didn't have any 30-minute or 15-minute interval time frames on. So we would have a daily figure of how much volume, but not enough to say, well, we can control this during these hours. And it's those diurnal patterns that you really need the detail of, rather than every day you just got a straight line plot. It's not enough to teach this thing to learn. And so what we've had to do in between was put our, where possible, our tagle system. So we've put new receivers on to get better reception, new tagle receivers on some of the offtakes, specifically more around the Joongeong area, around Arden and things like that, where we didn't actually have that interval data. Power, we've now got smart metering side of things. All of that information is 15-minute interval data. And now that we've built about an additional 8 months worth of historical data to come in on that, we're now ready to kick back off and start that up again. So it's pulling the budget that we had allocated a few years ago to now come back in where we can hopefully try and get this to work. At this stage, I still believe if we do get it to work, we will be the first in Australia to achieve it. And if we can, it'll be basically the optimization of the treatment plant, the process and the network, where a machine is telling us turn your pump on, turn your pump off at these times. And it'll basically pick that up, even see, not just seasonal, but daily. And so our operators can then just use that as an alert mechanism, not a control, and they can make a decision then to either start a pump or not. And it's based on the electricity off-peak and times and things, so it has all of that information and hopefully
we'll
learn and make some savings in the future.
I'll turn you off. Right. Just a question on jobs. Is anybody potentially going to lose a job over this? Is this like, I'm going to go back to some popular culture here and sort of the AI stuff and cyborgs and RoboCop and Terminator and the replacement of people with machines?
That's really interesting. Yeah, not through the life of my career, I don't think, maybe in the future. But no, at this stage, it's mainly around providing additional information for our existing staff to learn. The more information we get, and we know there's more work we need to do, unfortunately.
Sure.
But it's, at this stage, it's really around more awareness and things that you don't normally pick up or see, and it's not very obvious.
Yeah, okay. RoboCop was on my mind. They played 1, 2, and 3 recently. Yeah. Good films. I've got a fellow lover of that film in the corner. Okay. We've got a mover and seconder. Can we vote on that one?
Aye. Good.
Unanimous. Okay. Okay, microwave communication systems on page 99. Council offers a recommendation that the board resolves to increase the capital works budget by $550,000 to enable the completion of the microwave network works. Mover and seconder, please.
I'll move.
Move, Councillor McGlynn. Seconded, Councillor McAllister. Any questions? Discussion?
So you'll notice there in the report through the chair that we initially we weren't sure on the costing, so we put $250 in the budget. We're now looking around the $750 to do the work, so we're just asking to increase that amount in the budget.
Yep. Jeff, do you want to go over that again for us? I think you've done a pretty good job with the previous reports. Briefly, if you can.
Through, Mr. Chair. The microwave link network is basically replacing, for our control systems that we use, we call SCADA, the control systems that we use, basically what we're trying to do is make it independent from providers like Telstra and Optus. So what we've had in the past is our major critical infrastructure, we have an outage from Telstra, who might take a day, might take 3 days to turn up. We have no visual. We don't know how much chlorine we're dosing or anything like that. So we have to send staff to site to manage that and monitor that. And so what we've looked at doing is to reduce that risk, and we're looking to have our own independent system. Historically, we've operated on 5 to 7 server networks because of the expanse that we manage. This system will pull it all into one. So the guys only have to have one login, our staff, and they can see all of our schemes and narrow down into each and every step. This is also in terms of time. So at this stage, some of our systems that we use, we can remotely operate our treatment plants and our pump stations, and we're able to turn them on or off from home. At the moment, if we go to do that on some of our systems, we might say, yeah, turn pump off because we've had a burst. That signal won't get read for about 20 minutes to then tell that pump. That's how slow and how long it can take. With this new microwave network, it should be done within a minute, no longer. So it's point to point, it's very direct, very quick. It gives us that management and less risk, I suppose, is the outcome for that, and obviously speed of control. So obviously we cleaned this about 3 years ago as part of our SCADA upgrade, and it's just been a very slow project because we had to gain approvals of being on other people's tower sites and things like that, and then transferred from our Eastern New South Wales Police to now totally New South Wales TA, and gaining those agreements is just gorgeous. So we're there, almost. And this is the final stage, and hopefully we can get it completed.
And just the final paragraph where it states the completion of the microwave network and to allow for some hardware contract contingencies. Is that putting up some of our own masts in the area at sort of elevated positions to have our own little network? That's what we're doing here, is it replacing the larger networks we've been sort of piggybacking on, I suppose I would say, to have our own network?
Yes, partially correct. So we do have shared sites and shared infrastructure on some locations, and part of this project is we have installed new towers on some of our own independent sites, and so that we are completely removed from some, but we do still continue to share sites themselves and towers. The contingency there and things like that is really around, we're very dependent on having people who can climb those towers to install the hardware, where we've had to get people out of Sydney and things like that to do that, because we don't have those skills or certifications to do so.
Right. Okay. Anything else? No. I'll move that then. All those in favour?
Aye.
Okay. Over the page 100, energy market update. The council officer recommendation has some length to it again. It's that the board, pursuant to section 55.3.1 of the Local Government Act 1993, the board considers that a satisfactory result will not be achieved by inviting tenders before entering into a contract for the purchase of energy due to extenuating circumstances, being A, current energy market volatility and significant risk in entering into a fixed agreement, B, multiple options for purchasing energy such as wholesale purchasing, C, flexibility in purchasing processes is required for speed of acting on low price demands within the National Energy Market, NEM, And two, that we authorise the General Manager or the delegate the delegation to negotiate the purchase of energy and enter into any such agreements necessary to continue efficient operations of Golden Fields Water Supply Network. Moved by Councillor McAllister, seconded by Councillor McQueen. And General Manager, do you want to discuss anything there? Or?
I might hand it over to Jeff, but the volatility of the market, and if you have a look at what happened in Europe yesterday, they've turned the gas off again, and that cascades across here as well too, so it's not limiting to Europe. It is very volatile, and Jeff, you want to share a bit more on how we're looking going forward?
Yeah, very interesting, Chair. I suppose the current status is we pay around $58 a megawatt hour for our energy, and if we were to enter into a new contract at the moment, we'd probably be paying around $220 to $300. So the increase in those costs on the usage side of our, especially we're so dependent as the water supply authority being, that's I think the third largest part of our operational costs is our energy. And I think from our side of things, I think there's a greater risk for us to try and source and lock in a contract at the moment, and speaking with suppliers as well as procurement specialists and things like that in the energy market, the sector at the moment, everyone's very similar. Everyone's, I think, skating back, not touching it, and waiting to see what happens. The less risk at the moment, which everyone's discussing, is it's easier to fall to a default position. And so the default position at the moment is probably double the cost of what we're paying for our usage. Consumption, but it's still less than trying to lock in a fixed term agreement that you get for 18 months up to 3 years. And I think a lot of, I suppose, the beauty of the good thing about the high cost is that it's starting to make projects that were previously reviewed become a little bit more viable than renewable type projects or off-grid type arrangements such as batteries and stuff. So that's something that we do have to investigate a bit more now that you've got that volatility in price and where it lands. I think the biggest risk for all councils and utilities is come April. In April, they're going to shut down the other four sectors of the large New South Wales plant. That's going to be the pivotal point for all the councils, I think, where everyone will be a bit panicked. Because at the moment, I don't think there is a strategy and I don't think there is an answer to cover the gap that's going to be. And so I think everyone's a little bit worried, especially when we talk about Europe. The biggest part about Europe was that's why all that gas is being sent. The prices over there are three times what they're earning here. And you'll see one of the graphs in there where the volatility in that price range where you do wholesale prices and where the government came in and fixed it at that $300 cap. They just closed it off because it's just reward for us. It's our own supply. So there's a lot of argy-bargy. But whether the government's going to be strong enough to hold it for the mine, that would be interesting as well. At this stage, I would say for us, our existing contract, which is a really good rate that we're running on, we've got 2 December for those. So that's great. So it's probably only going to be 6 months of this financial year at really high peak prices. The reason for the report and the request for flexibility not going to, or an exemption of having to tender, is that it gives us the greater flexibility to seek, we can do wholesale purchases. So most utilities and things like that at the moment, they'll go through like a local government procurement, they'll do a fixed contract with suppliers. What we do, or what we can do, have the option is to go through a third party like a Procurement Australia, and they can purchase at 30-minute intervals at a low point, and you can purchase it for a month in advance. So they're the things that I'm considering at the moment to try and keep from December onwards in that position to do the purchase, try to keep our usage or consumption obviously down, but I don't think that's going to be an issue. I think it's going to be a wet season again. To really try and manage those cost increases as best we can. This, because it's 30-minute interval purchases and very ad hoc as to when you will have to do that, rather than coming to the board and waiting 2 months for a resolution to do an agreement, I think we need the flexibility through the general manager's delegations to do those purchases
with the manager. Councillor Sinclair?
Chair Rob, is Rerong got some sort of question is made with electricity and stuff, is it?
Yeah, through the chair, it was mentioned there at the Friday meeting that they had recently done a deal, locked in one, and they'd joined with another JO.
Yeah. JO, wasn't
there? Yeah, with another JO, with an energy group to provide for a number of councils. Yeah. Jeff may wish to share on that, though, because it's different usage volumes to what we do.
So, through you, Mr. Chair, we've previously looked at entering and supporting ReRock in the past for those contracts, being Goldfields Water and Riverina Water. So, we work very closely with Riverwater, and we package ourselves together. We've got by far the largest usage probably in southern New South Wales. So we together we come as a really good purchase point for suppliers at good times. And so we work together, and most of the time we'll go through local government procurement because we tend to get a better rate. An example was the previous contract, I think we ended up about, say, 22 cents a kilowatt hour as average, whereas the ReRock were around 26. So we're able to get better purchasing prices through that. And if we were to go with the ReRock, we'd be paying more. But given that it's such a big portion of our operational costs,
yeah,
it's not, we can't subsidise. It's very hard for us to do.
Yeah.
And just through the chair, by entering these contracts, you don't give any guarantee of supply, do you? It's only the price.
Correct. Yeah, they can have an advantage.
So there's no advantage as supply guarantee.
Just, Mr. Chairman, sure. Maybe long term, is it worthwhile looking into like putting in a big solar system, like with batteries and that sort of stuff, like the negative battery technology sort out a bit better?
Through you, Mr. Chair. So previously we've looked at what solar can do for us, small package sites. We had, I think, 12 listed potential project sites. We didn't proceed with any of those projects on the basis that the viability of those pretty much got thrown out the window because by the time you purchased the new land and went through the legal requirements of acquisition, it's already gone. And there's no, the biggest issue with solar was that there's no feed-in tariff return anymore. And it's down at like 8 cents. Whereas before, previously, it was like 2 cents. Fantastic. But at the moment, it's just not there. And in terms of our operational requirements, we're 14,500 gigawatt hours a year. We are massive. And our is our largest by far, the consumption. So it's usually around, it's probably 60% of our total cost on one site, out of all of our sites. And then you've got Jugeon and then Jugeon 2. And just by our itself, you would have to probably look at a minimum of 5.5 to 6 megawatt system just to try and cover half of an off-peak period. And that's your battery storage. Which I think at the moment with the prices, it's definitely a viable option. So it's something that we will definitely be looking at investigating further. But it's very hard to push a button on a project because it is so volatile. And a lot of, I see a lot of the infrastructure of, you know, the solars and things like that coming in. I know Riverina Water's looking at those. But everything that I have in my information is to say it's not necessarily a viable project because that feed-in tariff is the killer. And the biggest thing that is going to come that I don't think that utilities don't quite understand yet is that what there is becoming is a shift in what a peak and an off-peak and a shoulder period time is. What they'll either end up doing is a fixed high rate, but averaging it, or they'll completely flip when a period will be. And so solar only works during the day or only on a sunny day. There's nothing there to cover it during the week's worth of heavy rainfall, like the last two seasons we've just had coming to a third. You've got those major risks there in the infrastructure for essential energy to maintain if there's no, if they're not earning the income from their infrastructure, there's nothing there to back that up. And so that's the thing we need to consider is what can we have in place to make savings, but then also our redundancy measure. And the redundancy measure is the biggest issue at the moment of supply. Because we cannot not pump. We must supply it up.
Sure.
So it's a very difficult one. Yeah.
Isn't that the
technology
there?
No. Not yet.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. That was good.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. You might not be off the hook yet, actually, who knows, but done well so far. Righto. Mover and second do we have for that? So all those in favour?
Aye.
Unanimous. With the energy market update done, we move to page 104, disclosures by councillors and designated persons return. The council officer recommendation is that council note the tailing of the disclosures by councillors and designated persons return described within the report. And just a quick one, probably for any, is anyone missing them, including myself? Or
all tabled.
All tabled, good. In the folder, in the middle of the folder? Great. Mover and seconder for that. Councillor White, seconded by Councillor Sinclair. Thank you. 105, Delivery Program Progress Report, January to June 2022, the Councillor Officer Recommendation, the Council's January to June 2022 Delivery Program and Progress Report be received and noted. Mover and seconder for that. Move Councillor Sinclair. Seconded by Councillor Callow. Any questions or discussion on that lengthy report?
Just mentioned through the chair that we do this every 6 months, provide you an update. There's 49 actions there, and a large proportion of those are 100%. There are a few that are a bit less, and that's due to them being capital projects or items that cross over to two financial years.
If I'm correct, would there only be the one red dot, and that's a staff survey, two red dots?
Yeah, right? There's two, and there again, crossing over two financials.
Okay. Can I move that, please, and have a vote? All those in favour?
Aye.
That brings us to the Local Government New South Wales Annual Conference. And the council officer recommendation is that the board endorse the chairperson as Goldenfields Waters voting delegate for the LGNSW annual conference, to approve the attendance of the general manager and the chairperson. I did have a discussion there very briefly with Councillor Callow whether he would like to attend, so
I would get a look in and see how it works. And
I'll move it to three then.
Yep, easy done. Anyone else want to attend or ask any questions?
You'll be there anyway.
So move Councillor McGlynn, seconded by, need a seconder. Councillor White, yep. Thank you. So the three of us will be going. It's a bit blurry to see, but it's your usual sort of conference. Okay. Late reports. And we might ask, where are we? Okay, the big one, Rearock and Riverina JO1 organisation report prepared by the General Manager. So the Council Officer recommendation is for the consideration of the Board. I might move that we go into committee for this. We're often in sort of committee and we speak freely at Goldenfields meetings anyway, but anyone who wishes to make a statement can make a statement. We'll go around the table if needs be. Otherwise, feel free to move something.
Well, I'll take the
So, can I get a mover and second just for committee first? Yep, move Councillor McGlynn.
Do we need to go on a committee?
Well, if you want to, or we can. Okay, we're just going to go ahead with it. Councillor McGlynn's moving one. Do we have a seconder?
Sorry, through the chair, if I may, we need two options here. Yeah. So, in preference,
second.
Yep. And one is our first option.
Yeah, yes. One is first option for the next.
Righto. So Annie might write this up. She's probably way ahead of me. So we're looking at Councillor McGlynn moving options one and four, with one being the first option.
And we won't accept four, but that's our second option.
Yep, and that's our second option. Can you get that down? And that's seconded by Councillor McAllister, I think. Okay, any further discussion on that? We did have a bit of a chat about it. All good. Okay, so I believe the recommendation will be somewhere along the lines of Rearock as a standalone organisation and the JO folds, and then point four will be Rearock as a standalone organisation and the JO goes into hiatus. So this option would basically put the JO into hibernation with the ability for members to awaken it if it was in the interest of members to do so. I'm pretty happy with that myself. So. Okay, all those in favour?
Aye.
Yep. Aye, that's unanimous from us. We can pass that back to Julie Briggs at Rear Rock and Rear JO. Okay, so the other late report is regarding the Wylong Water Reliability Project update, and the council officer recommendation is that the board note the information provided within the report. Do I have a mover and seconder for that?
Yeah.
Move Councillor Callow, seconded Councillor Sinclair. Okay, any discussion on that? General Manager might want to bring us up to date.
Well, through the chair, I might hand it over to Sammy, just to, if Sammy's comfortable giving us an update on the project and maybe on when we're looking to have the first sod turn.
Yep.
Best sort of tuck it out, I think.
You're just writing something on my page and I'm like, God, do I need to know? Yeah, so just to give an update, we've now engaged the contractors for the pipeline and for the reservoir. At the last meeting, we resolved to enter into negotiations with any of the pipeline tenderers that had submitted a conforming tender. That was the outcome of the tenderer that we had engaged, pulled out of the contract. So the tender negotiation process was a really good process. We went to three of the contractors and all were really quite eager. Two of them attended to site to see if there was further cost savings that could be made. So we've engaged Hillard Infrastructure, PTYLPD, to undertake the works, and they could actually reduce their price from their tendered submission by about $500,000. So yeah, they were really eager for the works, came to the party and had a look at where there was some potential cost savings that, where they priced in some risk. So it was a really positive result from the negotiation process, and they're also able to mobilise quite soon. So they're expecting to be on site by the end of September and construction will swing sort of mid-October. So it really hasn't delayed our program too much at all. The total costs, we've budgeted the total project, including project management, contingency, and everything. We're currently looking at about $12.6 million, and we've got a budget there of approximately $13.2 million. So we're still, below our sort of upper limit ceiling that we've got with our contingencies included. So progressing well at the moment.
So the new tender all up, is it, how much more is it than what we...
It was approximately, I think it was 340 more than the previous tenderer, and then 400 less than what that tenderer had previously, the Killarts had previously submitted. So, yeah, 340 more than the original tender that we had seek to engage.
And they're signed up and locked in now?
We've verbally locked in, we've met with them on site. They've got contract documents and they're due back this week. big issue at the moment is accommodation in Wylong.
They should hook up with Inland Rail and do something, shouldn't they?
Through the chair, Sammy, when are we looking to do the first official?
I'm still waiting to hear back from DPIE sometime towards the end of September. I believe is going to be the official opening ceremony, sod turning, probably located up at the reservoir site. But I'll send that through as soon as we find out as many of you can attend as possible.
How many people are they aiming workforce there?
It'll fluctuate. So the pipelines, they said most of the time probably six. And then once one of their other projects finished, they'll have two crews going, so maybe up to 10 or 12, but again, it will depend on things like accommodation. It might be easier for them then to engage with local contractors. The reservoir contractors were about the same, about six up to 10 sometimes. And,
Is they not looking for big, massive amounts?
No.
Well,
a
few caravans, please.
Two-year delay to get those these days.
Just one question from myself, Sammy. Golden Fields Water internal staff will be responsible for the completion of the pump station. Estimated cost $800. If we somehow manage a miracle there, we might save a little bit more, will we? Or is that pretty much spot on, do you think?
It's probably about spot on at the moment. It just depends, I guess, on a few things. Like the pump station prices we got back were a bit higher than what we anticipated, so now we're probably looking about the spot on the 800,000. We were hoping to come in under that, but we'll wait and see what we can negotiate with the suppliers.
Sure, okay. That's all I've got. Anyone else with any questions? No. All good, we'll move that one then. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye, unanimous. And the next ordinary meeting of council. I'll take your book because I'm on the wrong page. Will be held on Thursday, 27th of October, 2022 at 10 a.m. And I'll close the meeting.
Can I just apply for leave of absence for that next meeting?
Yep. And do I have a mover and seconder for Alan now? Or do we need to accept that at the next meeting?
Move.
Happy to do that? Yep. Moved. Councillor Callow seconded Councillor McAllister. So you're off the hook for the next meeting.
Happy holiday.
Councillor White. And we'll close the meeting at 11:25. Is that right, Annie?
11:25, yep.
Yep.